calling all podcasters, musicians, vloggers, and reporters, and everyone else who wants crystal clear recording that's super portable. The Shure Motive family of microphones make studio-quality audio that's as simple as plug and play. Many of the world's top podcasters rely on Shure, and with a Motive line of iOS and USB microphones, portability is now your friend. Imagine being able to get great audio quickly and easily from your phone, tablet, or computer. Simply visit Shure.com/Motive to start getting great audio for your content now. That's Shure.com/MOTIV.
Is Rick Elkin, political analyst and author of a book that's just coming out, Trump's Reckoning. Is Donald Trump making America great again? He'll also discuss the president's successes and ability to overcome articles. Rick, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Brad.
And my partner's here, too.
Hey, Rick, Paul Pacelli, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Paul. Nice to meet you.
So what made you write the book?
Well, you know, I kind of got downsized out of the construction industry back in 2010 after the financial collapse. Mm-hmm. And I decided I needed to kind of reinvent myself and return to my roots. And so I started writing. And after I started that, I began to realize that maybe I could make a difference in the world because I really felt like our country was heading the wrong direction. And that's really what caused me to get into this kind of a format.
So you have a book that's titled Trump's Reckoning, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, as we all are witnessing, you know, Donald Trump was a miracle to be elected in the first place. And now that he's in office, he has to deal with some difficult issues. And he's going to have to learn to deal with that. And I feel qualified to comment on what he's doing because I've spent most of my life in the building industry, and Donald Trump is a builder. He's not a politician. And so I think it's interesting to see how he deals with challenges, how he overcomes obstacles by, you know, basically building things one brick at a time. And so I'm very happy the way he's dealing with things. I think he's got a lot in front of him and a tough row to hoe. But so far, I think he's doing a pretty good job.
You refer to Donald Trump as something America needed. You refer to him as the alpha male. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, when you're in the building industry, you have to bring a lot of disparate trades together. And so, you know, it's a very difficult challenge to work under a schedule, work on a budget, and complete projects on time and on budget. And in order to do that, you have to be able to deal with a lot of different personalities, you know, specialists in different trades, and these kind of things. And I think trying to apply those skills to politics, you know, there's a certain element of it that's going to be successful, and there's also some elements of it that aren't. But I think the idea that our country has been sort of fatherless for the last couple of generations, and that's what I think Donald Trump has to be and is trying to be, is more or less a father to this, you know, this family feud that we have going on.
You know, when you take a look at Donald Trump, and he is not afraid to say something, and he gets in trouble because he does, but again, there are things that have happened, and I think what gets me upset more than anything, there are things that have happened that we are in good shape in many areas, and he never gets credit for it.
Well, in my book, I refer to the resistance as the Franken media, and the reason I call it that is, you know, it's commonly referred to as the mainstream media, which I think gives it way too much credit, but it's much more complicated than that. You know, because of the way our media has evolved in the last, you know, 20 or 30 years, we have this fusion where news and entertainment and even sports and academia are all kind of one giant monster now. And it's very difficult to distinguish who's who and what's what. So I think one of the problems we have is there is a bent, a leftist bent, and I believe it's been sort of born out of academia, where most of the people now that are in the media are products of our college system. And I know from personal experience that most of our colleges are staffed with leftist professors. And so I don't think it's unusual to see most of the media people leaning towards the left politically, and therefore it's difficult for them to accept somebody like Donald Trump. That they're not happy with his more or less conservative agenda, and so they're not going to give him credit. And that's why we don't see any good news unless you really search, you know, the social media platforms and different cable news outlets. It's very difficult to find any good news on what's going on, but it's hard to deny the economy is booming. It's the best economy we've had in 50 years. Unemployment's an all-time low. There's all kinds of good things happening, but the news chooses to ignore that and instead focus on social justice issues. And I think the sort of narrative that the left wants to talk about.
You know, I and the guest is Rick Elkin of the his new book is called Trump's Reckoning. Rick, the thing that makes me laugh is you see all these people talking about Trump's a threat to democracy and Trump's a, you know, he's taking all our rights. What rights are they talking about? What now let's see what the Russia report says. Let's see whatever comes out of all this stuff. But you know, it's amazing when you ask people what rights have you lost under Donald Trump, and they can't answer the question. It's ridiculous. It's ludicrous.
Well, you know, this is typical of progressivism. It focuses on social issues and issues about feelings and victimhood and all these kinds of things. But if you sit down and, you know, they love to call, anytime I get into a discussion with a progressive, the first thing they'll say is, well, how can you support a liar? And I say, well, what do you mean a liar? And then they go off and talk about these, you know, tweets and things that Trump has said. Yeah, look, I'll admit that Trump is somewhat inarticulate and often is clumsy with his use of language and everything else. But how can you call a guy a liar when basically all he's doing is keeping the promises he made during the campaign? And so all you have to do is go down the list. He built his campaign around illegal immigration. Well, we're right in the middle of that fight right now.
People are talking about it. Yeah, bet they are.
Yeah, and you know, we look at things like energy, independence. You know, I remember Jimmy Carter promised to make us energy independent, and only now can we really say that we are. How many years has that been? And if you look at the process of trying to balance the federal budget and reduce spending and reduce taxes and all those kinds of things, you know, one of the things that that Trump is confronted with, I believe, is dismantling this whole process of what I call the Franken media, trying to figure out how do you get around this. And so he uses Twitter. He has 40 million followers on Twitter. A lot of people complain about the fact
How many did you say?
40 million. Now think about that.
Wow.
That enormous number of people that he can reach with his message without it having to be filtered through the Franken media.
Well, yeah, and it, you know, I grew up in you know, wanting to be a reporter, and I did, Rick, and you know, now gone are the days of the presidential news conferences when they just wanted to say something about a bill or something in the news. Twitter and Donald Trump's use of that, that's changed. That's not going back to where it came from.
Yeah, it's almost confrontational now. They've turned it around. It's no longer a public information forum. It's more or less a narrative for the left.
Name of the book. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brian.
No. I was just saying, you know, just the way when he goes out, he gets tremendous, tremendous crowds.
Yeah, the crowds are amazing.
Unbelievable. He can fill up a football stadium.
Well, you know, one of the very first chapters in the book discusses the very idea that a guy like this was able to, you know, beat back 17 highly qualified Republican candidates and then defeat, you know, Hillary Clinton, who, for all intents and purposes, was going to be the queen elected. The first female president, and, you know, I think almost everybody thought that that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And here comes this guy from, you know, I guess you could say from Hollywood. He's actually a New York suburbanite.
Yeah.
And, but he was able to overcome all this. And I think we're going to be writing about this for many, many years. In the book, I say, you know, it's like pitching five major league no-hitters in a row.
Yeah.
For him to do what he did, it's beyond really, it's beyond reality.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the left makes fun of him and calls him a reality television host and all that thing. Yeah. That's funny because they venerate reality hosts.
Well, yeah, they love Hollywood, so.
Yeah, so here's a guy that actually used their medium against them, and that makes them really angry.
Okay, now, the title of the book, Trump's Reckoning, Bulldozing Progressivism, Rebuilding Americanism. That's what the book is all about, and it's just great to talking to you, and why you wrote the book, I think that's a story in itself. So thanks a million for joining us.
Thank you very much, Rick.
We'll check out Amazon and the other sites to pick it up. Rick Elkin, thank you, the author of Trump's Reckoning, 18 after...